What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. This is episode 11, and my name is Nick.
And my name is Michael.
And today we are going to be talking about a couple key games, a couple key topics as well, and then previewing next week's games where there is a battle for the ages between Mike and I. So let's get into it. All right, so the first game that I want to talk about is the Lions beating the Titans 52-14. Realistically, 14 points for the Titans was pretty much a gift. So I'll have Mike kind of talk about him as a Packers fan seeing that game.
Yeah, first things first, guys, bear with me. I do have a little bit of a cold. You know, Nick, I think the most surprising thing to me was it wasn't the score, really. It was more so Jared Goff having under 100 yards, and they put up 52. I mean, I was expecting him to, like, have 300 yards, three passing touchdowns. Just the stats would be just, you know, inflated. But that was not the case. I mean, that was actually like the funniest thing I saw, because I wasn't watching this game, but I was checking the score and the stats, and I was like, does he only have 25 passing yards right now? They're up 28-14? Like, what is going on? More so, even though the Lions, I think, win this game either way, but the Titans are just a bad football team. I mean, they just said, here you go, Detroit. Score on us, please, because they kept on turning the ball over within like their own 20, within their own 30. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And of course, the talent on Detroit, you know, is going to carry them to this win. And I did think Detroit was going to win big. Just I didn't see them scoring 52, though.
Yeah, kind of to touch on that. Jared Goff went 12 for 15 with 85 yards and three touchdowns. It kind of helped that, obviously, you mentioned the turnovers. They were both in positive field position for the Lions. And then you had kickoff and punt returns galore for the Lions. Khalil Dorsey getting a 65-yard kickoff return. You had Khalif Raymond, 19 yards off the record with 190 punt return yards in this game.
Yeah.
And the interceptions out of Trevor Nowoski and Kirby Joseph, obviously putting them in positive field position. And then we had David Montgomery throwing a touchdown to Sam Laporta. The Lions have more non-QB passing touchdowns than any team in the league for the past 5 years, just in those two instances.
No, yeah, they're definitely a special team. I mean, full of talent. The play calling, of course, is unexpected with that team. So you're going to get something like that, especially against the Titans. I do want to say the Titans were kind of going toe-to-toe for a minute. Like, I was checking. I was like, oh, it's 14-14. Like, the Titans might actually be fighting. But after that 70-yard touchdown by Jahmyr Gibbs, it was all over. All the hope was over. Yeah, I mean, this one's pretty self-explanatory. Lions win, no doubt.
And what's crazy is the fact that the Titans had almost 200 more total yards than the Lions did.
Yeah.
And the Lions beat them by 38 points.
Yeah. I mean, Mason Rudolph is like, you know, he's a backup QB. That's all he is. Nothing special for the Titans. The Titans do not have their starting QB on this roster right now. I mean, they're going to draft one, but they're just a bad football team right now. A lot of problems there, coaching, et cetera. I mean, it's going downhill. So the season continues to get worse for them. But staying in the NFC North, we're going to transition over to my Green Bay Packers, who had a more interesting game. Definitely not what I thought at all. and that is the Packers. They did win 30-27 in Jacksonville. But something it was really interesting about this game was Jordan Love, of course, going out. The groin injury. Luckily, it wasn't the MCL. But in the first quarter, he made a play and he kind of was hobbling on that foot, which kind of was intriguing to me because the past couple of weeks, we haven't heard like, oh, this injury is kind of like lingering around. You know, he may or may not still have it. Like, he was good to go. Against the Cardinals, he was solid. Against the Texans, he was solid. No problems about it. And then this game, it was kind of lingering, but obviously it's his groin, as they said, so that's good. But the Packers did manage to get the win, which is most important here in Jacksonville. Malik Willis, once again, final game winning drive. I mean, the dude is just a beast. The Packers are two, I'd say 2.5-0 with him. I mean, it's incredible, Matt LaFleur. I mean, he's an incredible play caller, just a great coach. And speaks volume, I guess, to the Packers.
Yeah, and to kind of touch on that as well, I did see a couple of like injury reports. There is potential that Jordan Love does miss this game against the Lions. They are saying 1 to 2 weeks, so there is potential that he plays, but obviously it is a division rival, so I do think they try to push it. But I think Malik Willis, in the time that he has played for the Packers, I think he has kind of solidified himself as a quarterback that can play in situations when he's needed. So, and even touching on the Lions, Jared Goff was favoring his left foot after a sack that he kind of severely twisted his ankle. But he was able to get it taped up. Luckily, it's a low ankle sprain. It's not a high ankle sprain. So they were just able to tape it up and put a heating pad on it when he was not on the field. And then luckily they were up big, so they were able to put in Hendon Hooker.
Yeah. Excuse me. I was just gonna say, you know, the Packers Jaguars game was just injury like inflated. Like, I mean, the Packers lost their rookie safety Evan Williams, who's been playing amazing for them.
That's a
He
big
was
hit for
out
them.
with the hamstring. Yeah. But the Jaguars, most importantly, lost Gabe Davis, who broke his collarbone. Brian Thomas, I think it was like a chest, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then Ronald Darby, one of their corners, they were just also getting injured too. And late in the game, like on their safety, Andre Sisco went down. But you know, for me, the Packers, so there was a stat where it was like second half points Packers have given up. And I think the most was, I think it was a 6 points or nine against the Rams. And they gave up more than that against the Jaguars, which obviously in the final like minute 30, they got that touchdown to Evan Engram with three defenders on him, by the way, which is crazy. Didn't see that coming. I think the Packers, I mean, their defense is solid. They did get another turnover with Xavier McKinney. But I didn't see it going down to the wire like that. I mean, although when Jordan Love went out, it was kind of concerning. It was like, okay, if they drop this game, it won't be that big of a deal. But obviously, as you said, the most important thing is what happens this coming week. If Jordan Love, do they push it? Because I'd rather have him sit, get rested up, can, you know, get ready for the rest of the season rather than a division game, which he may injure himself more.
Yeah, and I will say this. You mentioned if they threw this, if they blew this game, it wouldn't be too much of a big deal. In the NFC North, it kind of is a big deal because
Yeah.
1 week you could be first place, the next you could be dead last.
Yeah.
And obviously, we'll be talking about the other two NFC North teams here in a bit, but obviously, this upcoming week, it's pretty much a battle for first place because Packers 6-2, Lions 6-1, both have the same amount of wins. Who will have the tiebreaker? We'll have that in the predictions here coming soon. But this is a battle for first place.
Yeah.
So do we see Jordan Love play? Potentially. If not, I think seeing how Malik Willis was able to step in both against the Eagles to start the season, and then the couple games that he did play with Jordan Love being out, and then obviously against the Jags coming in when needed, he has been able to step up. So we'll have to see what the Packers decide going into Sunday.
You know, one last thing going into this before we transition. do we see Doug Peterson? Is this seat pretty hot, do you think, for the Jaguars?
Yeah, I think it's been hot. I think it's just getting to the boiling point at this point. I think it's been hot since pretty much the middle of last season. I know we were kind of talking about it earlier this year even. I think losing a close game with Jordan Love kind of being hurt throughout the entirety of the game, and then obviously going out with the injury, losing a game of this magnitude, I think it definitely hurts Doug Peterson, just because they haven't looked the greatest at all this year.
No, not at all.
So, and I said this last week, it is up to the players to execute the play calls, which obviously they haven't been, but there has been glimpses. But there is some calls that are very questionable out of Doug Peterson. So yeah. I do think that his seat is getting hotter by the minute.
Definitely a week or two. excuse me. This cold is killing me, man. next, you know what? Talk about killing me. The Chicago Bears, man. I mean, as you and I, Lions and Packers fan, we can sit back and laugh at this one because, man, I laughed at this one. I was at dinner, and we're watching the end of the game. I'm like, holy crap, the Bears can pull this off. They're about to score, and they did. They went up 15-12.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at dinner, and we're watching the final play. I couldn't believe my eyes. The whole entire restaurant screamed. I mean, it was like they were Bear fans. I mean, I don't know what they were, but like they were just screaming because it happened. I was like, there's no way that just happened.
Yeah, and kind of similar story. I was at dinner as well. I was at a local restaurant over by where I live. And as a Lions fan, I was sitting back. I wanted Washington to win, personally, because obviously the heated NFC North division, how competitive it is and has been this entire year. And I was like, the Bears are about to win this.
Yeah.
Right. I thought rookie quarterback in Jaden Daniels. We haven't seen him throw this deep of a pass since halfway through his last year in college. So I was like, there's no way the Bears, who have had a consistent defense all year, let this happen. And yeah, then the replay showed a Bears defender taunting the Commanders fans and being like, yeah, we got this. He happened to be the one to tip the ball into the hands to have the touchdown.
You know, it's absolutely absurd. So you mentioned the player, Tyreek Stevenson. So he actually is the one that got cooked on that Terry McLaurin, I think it was 60-yarder down the sideline, which is crazy. On top of that, though, he wasn't even the guy that was supposed to tip the ball. He was the guy who was supposed to cover Noah Brown, who got the touchdown.
He was supposed to box him out.
It was a full blender. And also, too, to talk about the Bears, talk about their play calling. Third and goal. I think it was a second and third and goal. They hand off the ball to their center, Doug Kramer, who fumbles the football. The guy's never touched a football in his life. And he fumbles it, obviously. I mean, well, not obviously, but it was a bad play call. And after the game, after I think it was Monday, Jalen Johnson, DJ Moore, they all went on their shows and they talked about it. And they're like, I didn't think we were actually going to call that play in like a game like this. You can't make a call like that in a game like this. This is a high leverage game. That's a high leverage spot. And your defense is keeping you in it, by the way, because they held Washington to field goals until the last play.
Right.
How is Shane Waldron still employed, man? I mean, I think the Bears locker room is low-key kind of losing respect for Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron.
Yeah, and if you guys didn't see our tweet, we did ask the question, should the Bears fire these guys? And right now the responses are heavily yes. Me personally, I do think that you start the season off pretty good and then you've been slowly falling down.
Yeah.
I think if the last couple of years have any say to it, I do think that these guys get fired.
Yeah.
And kind of talking on like the bad play calling, I'll mention something that happened not in this game, but the Lions Titans game. The Titans had the ball first and goal at the 1 yard line, and they threw it three or four times for four incompletions instead of giving the ball to Tony Pollard.
Yeah, no, absolutely inexcusable.
And to kind of touch into this game that we're talking about, the Bears versus the Commanders, like you mentioned, they did not allow a single touchdown until that Hail Mary. It was all field goals. And obviously, it was the matchup that we were all looking at. It's the two top rookie quarterbacks. And Jaden Daniels had the last laugh.
Yeah.
By throwing a 52-yard Hail Mary. I believe it was 52 yards. And, I mean, the Bears have a lot to kind of go over, obviously. Both offensively and defensively. DeAndre Swift did have a decent game.
Had a nice run, yeah.
But I do think that this one is on the coaching staff. It's not on the players.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Shane Waldron should be in that room in front of the whole entire team and say, I messed up. Not you guys, I messed up. That's what he should do.
He didn't. It was that corner.
I also want to quickly talk about Caleb Williams, because high leverage game. We know that their schedule's been kind of easy so far. He didn't play the best until the fourth quarter. He gave you two drives to go down there and score. And one of those obviously was the Doug Kramer, but he just didn't play well. Like, he was missing throws that I was not expecting. I mean, there was a screen, I think it was to Keenan Allen, that he overthrew him and it went out of bounds. I was like, what? Like,
yeah, he's
did he really miss that? Or was that like, did he see something? But he did not play great. I'm not going to lie too. Jaden Daniels didn't play great either. Both these QBs didn't play great, but obviously it's a good matchup to see where they are. I think the Bears should have personally won this game, but
yeah,
you know, it is what it is at the end of the day.
I think we even touched on this when we were talking about like the NFL draft in episode one, where we were mentioning like how these rookies are going to adjust to the NFL. The Bears having their first really real test of the season. How was Caleb Williams going to kind of adjust? And we saw rookie plays out of him. We did not see a player that we saw all year where he kind of looked like a veteran QB. We saw a rookie quarterback fresh out of college, really, until you mentioned the fourth quarter with those two drives, and then obviously the horrible play calling in one of those drives. So
yeah very disappointing there. Well, guys, we can talk about quarterback play, because next game we got is the Browns and Ravens. I think nobody expected this. I mean, what in the world happened to Baltimore here? Lamar Jackson was playing lights out. Oh, next you know, the Browns are up 29-24, and they win the game.
Yeah, and I think when we were doing the predictions last week, we were like, next. We didn't even really touch on it. We were like, Browns versus Ravens. Ravens are definitely going to win this game. But Jameis Winston, as Tom Brady said, he's out here eating W's again, which is kind of corny, but still.
No kidding.
I don't think in a million years after they traded away Amari Cooper did we ever think the Browns were going to win this. And especially Jameis Winston, his first start in 2 years.
Yeah, no
going
kidding.
Up against one of the hottest teams in football. Lamar Jackson did not look good. Derrick Henry did not look good. This is just an overall downfall of a game for the Ravens. I think this game, you saw Lamar Jackson after the game slamming down his helmet.
Yeah.
I think this kind of hurts their confidence, because they were, correct me if I'm wrong, 5-0 in their last five games?
Yeah, they were.
They started off 0-2 and then won five straight?
Correct.
I think this is an overall like confidence killer for the Ravens, because you just lost to a team that nobody expected you to lose to, except for probably diehard Browns fans, which last week we were saying shame on you guys, right?
Yeah.
So,
I mean, until I'm looking up and I'm seeing this guy, Cedric Tillman, getting 2 touchdowns. I'm like, what is going on? This guy's a, you know, I think he's a second-year player, if I'm not mistaken.
Second or third.
Yeah. This guy was cooking. But I was really surprised. I mean, that's just what coaching can do. And, you know, this is a point that I also missed with the Bears game that I want to talk about. Bad coaching, talk about good coaching. So Lamar has the chance to go down and, you know, get a potential scoring drive to win the game. 3 timeouts are called in that drive by the Browns to stop that momentum. Something the Bears did not do. Freaking Eberflus is going back to Chicago with 3 timeouts, man. How are you doing that? I just wanted to touch on that because that drove me insane when I saw that. Yeah. An obvious coach would do that. Jalen Johnson literally said, we could have taken some timeouts to, you know, get the situation right, but he did not do that. But that's what good coaching is, and that's what good coaching will get you, is an upset against the Ravens. So, I mean, I don't know how many more games the Ravens can afford to drop like this. But you know what? After this game, they did go out and they did trade for Deontay Johnson. So solidifying that wide receiver 3, wide receiver 2, if I'm not mistaken, spot, because they got Zay Flowers. So obviously they needed some offensive help.
Yeah, and to kind of speak on that too, we were talking about, Ravens defense is going to be really good this year. They've been really good over the past 5-6 years. They did not look good at all, and they really haven't. This entire stretch of that 5-0 in the last 5 games, they were carried by their offense. Their defense was not playing to their potential, and the Browns offense was able to expose that.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think not only is it an offensive issue, obviously getting Deontay Johnson, and I think it's a defense as well. Their defense has not been playing well.
Let me tell you, when you have Eddie Jackson back there at safety, you're in trouble. I mean, that guy got beat. He's just a bust. That's why the Bears got rid of him. But Ravens defense definitely needs some help. I mean, they did get an offensive weapon to help them. But we'll see how they do going forward. I still think they're a playoff team, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think they're out of the playoffs by any means.
Yeah.
I think this is just a bad loss that they need to learn from, honestly.
Yeah.
So
speaking of a playoff race, man, Cowboys 49ers, this is unbelievable. I mean, it's a laughingstock in Dallas. I mean, you and I were both saying, Dallas can't afford to lose this one. They're coming off a bye week. Niners are banged up. Dallas got their ass kicked. I think the 49ers had 460 yards compared to Dallas's 200. I don't know. I was going to say 290, something like that.
286.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. It was close. But it was National Tight Ends Day, and, man, George Kittle. Great game out of him. And
fantasy.
I'll mention this. The Lions hangover. Every team that has played the Lions this year went on to lose their next game.
Yeah.
Now, is that a true statement? It is. But is there such thing as a Lions hangover? I don't think so. But me personally, I know a bunch of sports bettors, and they are going to start betting the over on Dak Prescott interceptions.
Oh my gosh, man.
Because he has now averaged 2.5 interceptions per game. Mind you, highest paid quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. I mentioned this last week. Jerry Jones, you said you're going all in. Where has that led you?
Yeah.
Under 500, and you are now becoming the laughingstock of the NFL.
Yeah. You know, speaking of under 500, so they're 3-4 now. So they're kind of in trouble because I looked at their schedule.
Not going to get any easier.
Yeah, right. They got the Panthers and the Giants, sure, but every other game is losable. And if they finish like 8-9, that may not get you in the playoffs in the NFC right now.
Yeah, in the NFC, no. Any sort of negative record is not going to get you in the playoffs.
But the Cowboys are in trouble. I mean, I think they're like almost a worse version of the 49ers because you see glimpses where it's like they could be good, but they just don't put it together always in four quarters. And it's like, okay, the only star player on offense is CeeDee Lamb. That's the only receiver they have. Jake Ferguson stepping up to that too, but he's a tight end. It's like, okay, if Jake Ferguson's your two, you're kind of screwed. I mean, they have no run game, 19 carries, I think, for 60 yards. And, you know, it's so funny is my roommate told me, he's like, dude, they elevated Dalvin Cook. I'm like, you think he's the answer? That's a joke. I mean, that's a joke. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, his touches were terrible. I mean, Cook for 6 for 12, forget it. I mean, they have no run game.
Yeah, I'll mention this because you mentioned the run game too. I was watching Get Up Football, I think it's called, and they asked Jerry Jones, why didn't you go and get Derrick Henry in free agency? You want to know what Jerry Jones's response was?
What's that?
He wouldn't fit into our scheme.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think any running back will fit into your scheme.
Yeah, I mean, literally. I thought this was one of the best lines in football. I mean, apparently not. If they're running like that.
They can't even protect their quarterback either.
But to flip it over to the 49ers, I mean, Brock Purdy played well, but, you know, they really outplayed the Cowboys in the third quarter by scoring 21. And almost again, did they almost lose this game? I mean, they were up. Dallas got two touchdowns, yes, in the last quarter, in the fourth quarter with 10 minutes, but it's like you almost blew it again. How do they keep doing this? And Dallas had an opportunity to go down and score again. Dak couldn't do it, but are you worried for them, Nick?
I've been worried for them, honestly. Yeah. If anybody doesn't know, my second favorite team is the 49ers. And I've been worried about them because obviously the injuries play a factor, right? Obviously, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel is technically not an injury. It's a severe illness, but also CMC. I think this was a much needed win going into their bye week. Because there are rumors that CMC comes back after the bye week. But in terms of like almost blowing the game, I think it's just they're not executing when they need to.
Yeah.
Like they execute plays when they are expected to, but when they need to, they're not executing.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a player execution standpoint in terms of defense, like run stopping. Obviously, Dallas has no run game, so that's pretty easy to stop the run. If you guys can't tell, I hate the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys. But also the passing game. I mean, CeeDee Lamb was able to put up numbers against the 49ers, and you need to have – an offense become one-dimensional if you are a defense. And they made that happen, but they weren't able to stop it. So I think it could come down to the defense. And then obviously when you get CMC back, you get Deebo back. If we continue to see this trend, I think it also becomes an offensive issue. But right now, I think it's a defensive issue.
Yeah, Purdy definitely hasn't played the best. But I do want to talk about really quick before we move on. Basically in the NFC West, if you win about 10 games, I think that would solidify the division winner. I mean, right now it's 49ers at 4-4. Seattle's at 4-4. Rams are 3-4. Cardinals are 4-4. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, the Rams, even though they're 3-4, look pretty intriguing right now with them being fully healthy. Do you see the 49ers coming out on top of this division?
I think it depends on how much the injury to CMC affects his play when he comes back. I think if it affects him, I don't see them winning the division. I would probably then have to give it to maybe the Rams because the Rams have a pretty easy schedule coming up. But this is another competitive division. Obviously, we mentioned NFC North, NFC North, NFC North. But the NFC West is also pretty competitive. But I will say probably Rams and the 49ers second, maybe squeaking a wild card spot. But I don't think I see them winning the division this year.
Interesting. I might me personally, I think the Niners do still come out on top. I do think it'll be a close race though, but I think they get 10 wins at least. But I guess we can talk about wins and losses here, transitioning into our next segment of next week's games. We're already in week 9, dude. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, normally NFL seasons don't go by super fast in my opinion, but
Dude.
I think I told you this last week. With us doing this, it makes it feel even faster because we're
Yeah, I
having
know, for
fun with
real.
it. We're having
No,
fun with
absolutely. I'm having a great time. Like I'm more locked in than ever before.
it. I'm not only watching Lions games this year, guys.
Yeah, right. No, literally. It's actually been a lot of fun though. I will say doing the show, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you guys also for the continuous support. We see the views. I mean, it's incredible. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, guys. Comment if you guys agree with us. If you guys completely disagree with us, hey, we may be stupid, but you know, comment down, let us know your opinion. We'll be replying to every single one of you. And yeah, we appreciate the continuous support. And as always, definitely check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. But
And also
without
Amazon Music as well.
that too. So without further ado, let's get into Nick and my predictions. So for the first game tomorrow night, Thursday, we got a banger of a game. We got the Texans going up against the New York Jets. This is actually an interesting one.
Yeah, so prime time has not been very much of a fun time this year. A lot of boring games happening on prime time. But with the recent news of Stefon Diggs being out for the remaining of the season, if that did not happen, I would easily take the Texans in this game. But now it becomes more interesting. I think the Jets need this win. Especially after the memes have been coming out. It's not been looking good for the Jets. I'll take the Jets by 3. I think it's going to be within a field goal. I think with the Texans having their wide receiver injuries to Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, I think it plays a huge factor into them winning this game. So I'll take the Jets.
Yeah, as you p mentioned, Stefon Diggs, I think that the Texans last week played the Colts, and the Colts defense is like known for giving up a lot of yards, and the Texans still struggled to put up points. And for me, for this Texans team, you know, going crazy in the free agency market, signing people left and right, they really have not been like that dominant team this season, and they really still haven't shown me that. So for that reason, with the bad loss to the Patriots last week, I will also agree with you, Nick, and take the Jets here because they need this win way more.
Yeah, and even when they versus the Packers, they didn't put that much stats up on the board.
No.
So this next one, the best game on the schedule, the New Orleans Saints taking on the Carolina Panthers. Saints currently 2-5, 2-6.
2-5, yeah.
Losing 5 straight. And then you have the Carolina Panthers,
Except you got Derek Carr coming back, I think.
Yeah. So I'll give it to the Saints. I just don't see any world that the Panthers win this game.
Yeah, no
We
way.
did also say this about the Browns versus Ravens game, so I will mention that. This is going to be a very interesting game. Obviously, the Saints still have those injuries to their roster. We saw obviously Equanimeous St. Brown activated to the active roster. So I'll give it to the Saints, but I do think that it's going to be a pretty close game, pending if Derek Carr comes back. If Derek Carr comes back, I think they win this by 17. If he isn't and is still Spencer Rattler, I'll give it to them by 3.
Yeah, I think the Saints win this regardless. No Deontay Johnson, free Andy Dalton, and Bryce Young. I mean, yeah, it's a bad situation for the Panthers, so give me the Saints.
The next game is the Washington Commanders taking on the New York Giants. I am taking the under in Daniel Jones' touchdowns. I still don't think he throws a touchdown at home. Give me the Commanders.
Commanders as well. If Daniel Jones doesn't throw a touchdown, dude, next week's podcast is going to be insane. Like, I'm going to explode. My head is so full of just Daniel Jones negativity, man. My gosh.
Yeah, the next game is the Dolphins versus the Bills. Obviously, Tua came back last week. Still did not have a very good game. I think the Bills are on a high road right now. So give me the Bills.
Give me the Bills as well. I really predicted last week wrong. They dominated the Seahawks. Yeah, give me the Bills.
The next game is the Los Angeles Chargers taking on the upsetters of the week. The Cleveland Browns. You know what? Because of what happened last week, and I think the Ravens are by far a better team than the Chargers, give me the Browns.
I'll take the Chargers. I think Herbert's coming off a really good game. Were they on a bye week last week? No, he's coming off a good game. That's right. They beat the Saints. No, yeah, give me the Chargers. Herbert's playing some good ball. I think they get the job done.
The next game is the New England Patriots taking on the Tennessee Titans. Give me the Patriots.
Next game, dude. Give me the
And
Patriots. I mean, that game's a joke.
then the next game is the game that we'll be watching the second half of during our live stream happening this upcoming Sunday is the
Whoa.
Dallas Cowboys taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Give me the Atlanta Falcons. I think they've been playing pretty good football over the past couple of games, and the Dallas Cowboys have looked to be the Dallas Cowgirls the entirety
Oh.
of this season. They've just been
Whoa.
horrible, and I
Whoa,
think they
Nick.
will continue to be horrible.
That's a good one. Give me the Falcons too. That's a crazy statement though. Yeah, give me the Falcons. That's a good one.
The next game is the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. I'll take the Bengals. I just don't see the Raiders coming out with a W in this game.
Yeah.
I think their morale has just been super down with all the trade talk. Obviously, Devontae Adams leaving, and then the trade talk potentially about Max Crosby on and off. But yeah, give me the Bengals.
Yeah, give me the Bengals coming off a bad loss against the Eagles. They definitely take on a uncompetitive Raiders team.
The next game is the Denver Broncos taking on the Baltimore Ravens. I think Baltimore needs this,
Yeah, they do.
especially after last week. But Denver has been looking,
Better.
yeah, better. I
Better.
wouldn't put it solid,
Right.
but they have been looking better. I think with the recent trade that the Ravens have made, I think they take this. I
Yeah.
do need to see some better play out of their defense, though.
Definitely. I agree with you. Give me the Ravens.
The next game is the Chicago Bears taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona, obviously, having Marvin Harrison back. And the Chicago Bears coming off the biggest heartbreak of a loss that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
I'll take the Cardinals. I think Kyler Murray has just been looking phenomenal this year. And Caleb Williams coming off a subpar performance. Give me the Cardinals.
Yeah, did you know that Eberflus is 3-17 on the road?
That's Cardinals, a crazy stat.
Yeah, 3-17, bro. Yeah, give me the Cardinals. They're on a hot streak of winning two. I just don't see the Bears. I mean, we'll see. They need this game, though. They can't afford to drop that.
The next game is the Jacksonville Jaguars taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Give me the Eagles next game.
All right, over, under, Hurts 300 yards.
Under.
Okay. I was going to say, I think Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown are going to have a field day with this secondary. It would be interesting, though. We'll see. Yeah, give me the Eagles, though.
I think under, but it's going to be a really close under. I think over 280.
Yeah, maybe like 270 is more manageable.
The next game, a divisional game, the Los Angeles Rams taking on the Seattle Seahawks. LA Rams having Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua back. Seahawks, they've been looking. Yeah.
So 500.
give me the Rams. I think they win this by double digits. Yeah, give me the Rams.
Yeah, Rams are hot. Win two. Seahawks, even though Geno's number one for passing yards, it doesn't seem like it.
And we're going to save the best game for last. So we're going to go to the 8:20 time frame. The Indianapolis Colts taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Rumors coming out that Anthony Richardson will be benched for the remainder of the season. So we will see Joe Flacco playing against Minnesota. Minnesota coming off two losses in a row. After starting 5-0, I think Minnesota needs this to kind of save their season. Especially, I'll mention it again, the competitive NFC North. So I think the Vikings need this win. I'll take the Vikings in this game. I think they really need their offense to kind of step up. Their defense has been looking really good, besides for now their top defender being out for the remainder of the season as well.
Yeah, give me the Vikings here. I don't think this is a blowover game by any means. I do think this is still losable. Joe Flacco is still competing. Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, they're still competing. So, and Jonathan Taylor's playing some really good ball too. So this is still losable for the Vikings, but I still have them winning a close game.
Yeah, the next game, Monday Night Football, Buccaneers taking on the Chiefs. Please, Buccaneers win this game.
Yeah,
I mean, want to see the Chiefs win another one. But the Buccaneers obviously missing their two star wide receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Unfortunately, I'll have to give it to the Chiefs. Yeah, I think they've just been playing better football. So yep.
Sad.
But now the game that we are all anticipating. Tune in Sunday. We'll be starting off at 2:30 with the second half of the Cowboys versus Falcons. And then, like I said, the battle begins. Lions traveling to Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Packers. You already know what team I got to go for. I'm going Detroit.
Yeah, this is all dependent on Jordan Love. I mean, got to see the status, got to keep up this week with, you know, how his status is. But if he's not playing, I got to say Detroit, how could you not? If Jordan Love's playing, though, give me the Packers all day, baby. I mean, we're going to win this thing 30-0. No, I'm just joking. If Jordan Love's playing, I think it'll be a great game regardless. We'll see a duel happen both on offense and defense. I mean, it'll be a great game all around. But, yeah, give me the Packers if Love plays. If he doesn't, that's a shame because this could have been a really good game.
Will I also mention that the Lions have won the last four in Lambeau?
That's cool. We got Detroit, man.
And mind you, guys, this game will be without Aiden Hutchinson and Jameson Williams. So it will be interesting. The Lions, Dan Campbell was hinting at a potential star-studded trade for an edge rusher. We have yet to see a name be dropped in that trade. But yeah, this is going to be a really good game. Jared Goff being one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL right now, fourth in MVP racing. I think he should be higher. He's had a better season than a couple of the other quarterbacks. Against potentially Jordan Love. NFC North first place battle in Lambeau Sunday. We will be live trash talking each other, having some fun. And not to mention, Mike and I are also playing each other in fantasy this week.
You know who's projected to win?
Unfortunately, Mike is. I'm currently 6-1, first in our league. He's 5-2. We're 6-2. You didn't have a bye yet.
No, I did. I did. I'm 5-2.
So you're 5-2.
Coming for that first place, boy.
So peep our Twitters. We're going to be beefing all week. This normally happens every week, every year when the Lions versus the Packers. We beef with each other. This is the 1 week or 2 weeks that Mike and I cannot stand each other in good fun.
Not responding to a text message if we lose. Not going to make a phone call. We're not recording.
But yeah, crazy. Tune in on Sunday at 2:30 Eastern time. We will be live, like I mentioned, viewing the last, the second half of the Cowboys versus Falcons game. And then we'll be doing a little pregame show, talking some trash in there as well. And then we'll be doing a play-by-play analysis of the game and just having fun. So yeah, tune in absolutely on our YouTube. We will be tweeting out when we go live, so stay tuned to that. And like Mike mentioned as well, follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, Twitter, you name it, we're on it. And yeah, we'll be responding to your guys' comments. Let us know who you have winning this heated matchup between the Lions and the Packers. And we'll see you guys on Sunday.